Guys, if you haven't checked up on our social media recently, what have you been doing? I'm at Nick Hardwick, and Jamie is at jamie.hardwick. That's J-A-Y-M-E with a period, and then Hardwick, which is not to be confused with the other Jamie Hardwick, who I tagged a little while ago on Instagram, and she notified me that you may want to get this straight, bud. Your wife may be pissed at you. That earned me the Worst Husband of the Week award. Sorry, babe. Anyway, you guys know that Lose Like Alignment is going off. I'm sure you've seen some of the ads circulating. Hundreds of men now are losing staggering amounts of weight on a daily basis. It's been so awesome to see. And of course, I had no idea that life would turn into this for me or for us. I just had to get the information out of my head, share it with others, see if it could help people reclaim their lives. And lo and behold, it has. And I am just really grateful to be a part of this amazing team. And the most fulfilling thing for me and the program is the weekly interactions that we get through the accountability network. So sign up for that. It is awesome to get personal connections and have conversations and get to understand who people are, what their challenges are, and assist on a very personal basis, on a weekly basis. So as this was all going on, we're getting crazy amounts of requests from the ladies wondering if this program is good for them too. And for me, I said, sure, yeah, it is. But really, since the beginning, I've tried to get Jamie to give my plan a try, and she would try it for a day or two and then basically tell me it wasn't for her. And finally, listening to the requests on social media and through email for a female version, and then getting some feedback back from females who were actually in the program and taking that into account, and then asking and not telling Jamie what could make this plan work for her and for other females, she went, took the parts from the men's program that she liked, modified it to accommodate the female body and your guys' individual preferences, and gave it a try. And I tread lightly saying this to her. Thankfully, she's not around right now. But it's been super cool watching her own this program. She has gained control back over the food, has reset her hunger cues, and has lost the weight she's been trying to lose really forever. I know. I don't think she has anything to lose either. But still, she's getting to a place where she feels great about her body. And that is important. In fact, I just get out of the bathroom and she says, I've lost this weight, but Nick, I've lost an inch off of my waist. She's taken measurements. So we sent the adjustments back to our design team, and voila, the Lose Like a Lady program is born. We would love for you guys to join the team. If you want to know more, all food preferences and eating styles work within the framework we provide in both the men's and the women's program. We do provide body weight only workouts and daily activities known as every hour on the hour exercises, EHO. But guess what? As we tell everyone, the exercise is the least important component of the plan. It's not required to lose weight. If you don't want to exercise, or you've got your own form of exercise that you would rather do, do that. We are never going to discourage that. This program will help you figure out what works best for you. You're going to learn appropriate caloric loads for the day and per meal. You're going to learn how to match your caloric intake with daily activity levels. You're going to break free from the having to eat a meal every 3 hour cycle. It really is an incredibly empowering experience. Also, the program helps build healthy self-care habits that make the program sustainable for life. And it's wonderful when you figure out that the more you take care of yourself, the healthier, the easier it is to make good choices when it comes to food, when it comes to exercise. And the best part about the program that a lot of people find is it's 4 weeks on and 2 weeks off of the plan. That is what we call a diet break. How many programs encourage you to not do the diet? We do that so you're going to build trust with yourself. You're going to take the skills you learned and you're going to put them to test in the real world. The whole process, it's incredibly empowering. When you reclaim your health, you really do reclaim your life. Join our teams. Sign up at hardwick.life. It's like hardwick.com, but hardwick.life, and use the code podcast20 for 20% off the order. And by the way, you can use that code forever on anything site-wide forever. And we want you to know that we're here for you. You can email me directly at nick@nickhardwick.com. I do. I get back to everybody. Try it. Try me. I'll get back to you. Anything you have. Show recommendations, any questions, any support, any criticism. We're here for that. Throw everything my way. You need help modifying this program to suit your particular needs? All you got to do is ask. We've helped hundreds of people make this program work in their lives, and you can too. All right, guys, back to the show. Check it out, hardwick.life, podcast 20 for 20% off, and we hope to see you on the network soon. Love you guys. Thank you. All right, guys, how's everybody out there doing? It's your guy, Nick Hardwick. Yeah, thank you. Joining us today on the Hardwick Life podcast is Zach Evanesh. He's a former wrestler and a bodybuilder turned strength and performance coach. He's a consultant. He's a warehouse gym owner. He founded the Underground Strength Gym. It started in his parents' backyard and garage in 2002. We'll talk a little bit about that. He's got multiple locations in Jersey now. You can check them out at undergroundstrengthcoach.com. He's also the author of the best-selling book, The Encyclopedia of Underground Strength and Conditioning, as well as his work with several D1 wrestling teams in the past, including Lehigh and Rutgers. And I know Zach's story, he doesn't share it on this podcast, but he was hand-selected out of nowhere, didn't apply for the jobs or anything, but based on his work, he was hand-selected to be the strength coach for the wrestling team at Lehigh and Rutgers. And Lehigh's got a historically great wrestling team. He is the host of the Strong Life podcast, so give it a listen. You're going to understand really why I wanted to have him on. He's a positive energy dude. He attacks life. He's got a real zest. You're going to hear he's like, maybe I should back it down a little bit. But I tell you, I'm attracted to that kind of person. And we're going to get into a lot of topics on this one, how lifting weights, it got him in his mind strong, allowed him to build that strong mind, strong body, and strong life. And he's doing that through his gyms. They train a lot of youth athletes, a lot of wrestlers, which I think is super cool because I'm really into wrestling. You know, my background as a wrestler, as a high school wrestler, and then walked onto the football team at Purdue. And I learned everything, but not everything. I learned a lot of things through my struggles and experience wrestling. And so I'm really excited to talk to somebody who's involved in that sport. And Zach has trained people all the way from, you know, middle school athletes to Olympians, military members, Leos, and really adults looking to train for life. So I think you guys are going to love this one. We get into business. We get into his own training. We get into when it's appropriate for children to begin training and what kind of training and what does that all look like. So check out Zach's fitness programs and you can find his podcast and his blog, which he tells you he's got 16 years of articles built up there in a library. And he really is a resource of information. It's at zachstrength.com. That's Z-A-C-H strength. Go look that up if you don't know how to spell that. ZachStrength.com. Guys, thank you. I hope you enjoy the episode. And until next time, have a great one. Zach, welcome on, brother. I am so happy to have you on. I know your workload's about to ramp up because you told me the high school you're coaching at, yep, New Jersey, you guys are getting back in full time. I don't know if it's full time, but you went from school to your...
Yeah. We're trying. It depends where you are. You know, my school, we start back tomorrow. My kids have been in school every day. And dude,
how old are your kids?
14 and 12.
And it's good to have them back in school every day, isn't it?
Dude, they need it, man. Like yesterday I was training athletes at my own gym and I was like, man, these kids are friggin' crazy today. They were nuts. And then one kid was like, I was virtual today. Like they were on crack. They were going nuts.
Their heads spin.
Messes them up if they don't work. Yep.
It's so unhealthy for them. And then we even realize in Indiana, it's snowy out, but they've got this kind of restrictions for how they can play at recess. So the yard's not available because of the snow and they don't want to get all wet. My youngest is 7. He's in first grade. And he threw a fit yesterday, apparently, to great age, to the teacher because he didn't get to go outside. He's like, we haven't gone outside in 2 days. He like got all mad at her. She had to call mom and was like, Teddy had a meltdown today. But it's, you know, sitting in one place for too long, being on the iPads, and they get all crazy eyes.
It is the worst. I always say, I'm like, man, these phones, they own the kids. I always tell them, I go, that phone is your boss. That phone owns you. How you feel about that? Like fight back and not like let that crap control you.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm a bit older than you, man. So I'm just a lot thinking of just getting out more in nature. You know, I've been working so much since this COVID started. Yeah. And I realized, man, COVID thing started middle of March. We're almost a year into it. And once like mid-June came around, I was able to open up my gym again. I just been working every day, morning, afternoon, evening. And I'm like, man, this shit ain't healthy. I got to go and live and do stuff. So, you know, back to the, not that I never had this thinking, but I've gone in spurts. Now I'm just back to the thinking of figuring out ways to make my money work for me versus me always working for money. The worst way to make money is trading time for dollars. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's interesting. I was just listening to, you had a podcast recently with Jonas, and it was like an old school throwback real talk.
Yep, my bro.
And that one was awesome. And he was talking about a lot about getting outside, finding a cabin to go to. And he recommended, hey, just go to the park and leave your phone behind. And you don't have to be filming everything. But I get it, right? It's like that entrepreneurial world that you got to be on. You got to let people into the life and show them what you do on a daily basis. And you really have to embody what you're selling.
I don't know if you, I'm sure you can run a business without crushing the online social media stuff. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but you got to go where the eyeballs are. You've got to go where the attention is. And so I listen to how people find out about me, and it's like on the regular, I've been watching your YouTube videos, or I've been looking at your Instagram, or if it's a parent to our gym, we've been watching your videos on Instagram for 6 months. And it's just right there is the, that's like the red flag saying that's where their eyeballs are. That's where their attention is, because they might hear about you. Then they're going to research you and find out who it is that you are, what it is that you do. And then they dig deeper. They go down the rabbit hole to see if this is somebody I could trust. What if it's a parent, can I trust this coach to work with my son or my daughter? If it's somebody who's looking for training, they find like ways that they're connected with me. Oh, I feel that way, or that's what I do. And so, you know, my buddy Jonas, he had multiple, you know, businesses in the fitness industry. And once he sold them all and shut one down and this and that, he basically doesn't utilize his Instagram unless he's posting up like a skateboarding video. And I mean, you know, when I met him first, it was really unique. I had heard about him from another guy, this guy that's running a boot camp 1 hour a day with like 100+ people in it. So awesome. I remember when I met him in Florida, he was like, yeah, it's really strange. He's like, you know, at 5:30 a.m. waiting at like the park, it's dark. He's like, I had to hire a policeman to like direct traffic. He's like, all of a sudden you just get like 100 headlights coming at you in a car. It was just like, he always learned. Jonas always knew how to kind of make something work without like working himself to the bone. I always liked it. It was funny.
Yeah, he's crafty. So we own 5 gyms out in San Diego, group fitness, kind of high intensity bodybuilding is what we phrase it. Nice. It's like if Orange Theory and CrossFit had a baby, it would be us.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more muscle focused, more weights driven,
smart,
less, no. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and I think more sustainable, right?
Yeah.
But where do you think, what's the future of the gym business? And I know you've got the one that you house out of, and you've got other ones around the Northeast and New Jersey area.
I've got two locations now. Yeah. I've had at times, you know, like a satellite location inside a baseball facility. At one time I had 3, you know, warehouse spots. And what I found is like, Nick, it's super hard to say this is the direction it will go, because what's working in my hometown, same gym, different coach, same training program, is not working exactly the same 50 minutes north of me. And so sometimes the geography changes things. And so what might be working in San Diego may not work in LA or San Fran. It's really weird to say that, but now I'm more in tune with, if I was going to open up again, I would really do some like undercover research of the location. And I would, you know, be in that area walking around and talking to people and getting a feel from the small businesses and whatnot. But, you know, overall, what do I think the future is? You know, it seems like adults really are investing in training at home. But I do think, you know, Tony Robbins, I learned this, you know, 22 years ago, he said, you know, the human interaction heightens the human experience. And I don't know, you know, you and I have a different normal than what other quote unquote normal people have. They don't think the same. I think eventually they're going to want to be around people. They're going to need the accountability. Yep. They're going to need some interaction. And sure, there's going to be your percent of people who are going to train alone and they're going to use a Peloton. But how often can I keep going to the Peloton, whether it's the bike? I know there's like something else. There's like a wall mount unit that's like a cable machine and it tells you what to do.
It's like the Nordic Track one or whatever. Yeah. There's the mirror that Apple has invested in.
Let me tell you, I miss having training partners. You know, my schedule is so crazy, but when you have a training partner or you're around a group, it's like all of a sudden you don't care about how you feel. You're like, man, I got to step it up. I got to push this person to the right of me, to the left of me. So I do believe that the groups are going to come back. I don't think people are going to be the people that are afraid of all the COVID or cleanliness. We've always been clean, as I'm sure you have, you know, and I think we went overboard with that stuff. Like we're cleaning, like we're preparing for a surgery in an operating room, right? Yeah. It got too much. Yeah. You got your mask, your gloves, you're spraying everything. It got out of control. So do I think groups are going to come back? Absolutely. Yeah. I think also that time is something that's on people's minds. So for example, me being so busy, I don't know if in the future I would, let's say I was a consumer, I don't know if I'd go to a place that was an hour. I'd be looking for like a 30-minute thing.
Perfect, yes.
Yeah, even 45 minutes, 40 minutes. But an hour, I'm looking at now as a father, as a parent running around, I always look at convenience. And what's interesting is my one location is in a building. We all have very small units there. We have a wrestling club. We have a world champion jiu-jitsu expert. And the boxing club was a guy that was a world heavyweight runner-up to Michael Spinks.
So like that's everybody's all in the same area?
In the same building. So every guy is like a world-class instructor. And our gym, I think, our club is so busy because we're in it with wrestling. So what happens is a kid goes and trains at the underground and then goes to wrestling or vice versa. Or when the kid is wrestling, mom or dad goes in and trains with us. And it's under one roof. They're not running around. And I think convenience is huge. So if we look at why Uber exploded or Uber Eats or all of these DoorDash, it's because people are like, man, if I got to go and pick up that food, drive, it disrupts my workflow. And I'm thinking in the way of, I could just pay somebody a $5 tip when they deliver my food, or I could spend this 45 minutes and send out an email, do something that's, you know, marketing based, and that could pay me back, you know, 50-fold of the $5 tip. And so that's what I think people are going to be looking for as well. That's why we see these food, you know, prep companies exploding, because people are like, you know what, I'll just get them to deliver my three meals and it's in Tupperware.
It's efficient. They don't have to worry about it. Efficiency is everything. I mean, does it fit into my life? Do I enjoy doing it? And I think super important, we've even talked about it at our gyms, is why don't we just scale it back from, it ends up being 45 minutes, but why don't we scale it back to 35 and see if we can jam all of this into a tighter window. So with instruction, we've got 45 minutes total. Mm-hmm. And I think people would be just as happy because we've got like three phases and a lot of people leave on the phase that they don't enjoy, which for most people is like the assault bikes and the air runners. People don't, cardio is not everybody's favorite, but they
like
come
the finisher, right? The finisher.
The finisher, but they come for the weights. Like they want to lift the weights and they just want to be shown how to do it.
What's funny, Nick, is what's his name that started that company EAS when I was a teenager, Bill Phillips. You know, Bill Phillips had said, I had heard him on a podcast maybe 5 years ago, but it rang a bell because he's now in his 50s. Was he said, you know, lifting weights and building muscle is the fountain of youth. And when he created Body for Life, it was three training sessions a week, 45 minutes. You know, he would do cardio on a fasted cardio, empty stomach in the morning. Then he did a 45-minute bodybuilding split. But some of my training sessions are less than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Because
you get a lot of juice out of a 30-minute session.
I'm training athletes now 30 minutes at the high school because that's all the time block they give me. And one kid was like, man, he's like, I didn't think we were going to get we could get a serious training session done in 30 minutes. He's like, coach, you proved me wrong. I'm like, guys, because we don't stop working. So we this is what I've been doing. It's like a little system, three exercise warm up for three rounds of 10 to 20 reps. So it might be like a carry, a pull up and a push up. It might be dumbbell bench, inverted row, you know, bodyweight pause squats. It might be walking lunges, back extension, band face pulls, three simple exercises. Then I go two exercises, maybe three back to back, but like a main lift, I'll couple that. Let's say it's a trap bar deadlift. Then we're going to jump. After we jump, we'll do abs or band pulls. Then you're back in. If it's like an upper body day, let's say they're pressing overhead or they're benching, then they're going to pull or they're going to row. So you're going to press, you're going to do a pull up or a row, then you're going to do abs or band pulls. Four rounds of that back in, and then kind of do like probably what you're doing, like a bodybuilding superset. So it'll be dumbbell bench coupled with shrugs, coupled with pull parts. And the moving pumps up their heart rate.
Yeah.
And boom, they're in. And then in between, I sneak some dead hangs in. So they're stretching their shoulders and their back out. And I think you're right. It'll give longevity. They're not going to feel beat up and banged up.
You're sneaky on the maintenance, on the prehab stuff. It's like, nah, do some of the dead hangs, the warm-ups.
Five times a workout.
My best strength coach was so basic, but it was a program just like that, where it was
in the NFL.
It was a lot like that. And it was like, focus on the main lift. And we're going to do one really hard, heavy main lift at the beginning of it. After we do a warm up, there's like a little station warm up.
Yeah.
Once we're done with that, let's bang that heavy lift. Right. And then he always said, train like an animal after that. He was like, now I want you panting in between sets. You're not sitting down. You're doing push ups. Now let's push the threshold. Let's really blow it up. At the gym, you're doing, I don't want to say exclusively wrestlers, but you got a lot of wrestlers coming to you.
Got a lot of wrestlers.
How'd you get into that niche? Because that's an awesome niche to be in.
I niched from day one. So in my beginning of saying I'm going to go full time, I invested in a business course from my first mentor, Ryan Lee. He's not in the fitness business industry anymore, but he now has, he puts out protein bars called Rewind. But Ryan created this program. I purchased it, invested in it, $97. I remember really worried about the $97. And then finally I was like, there's a money back guarantee. I was like, I'm doing this thing because if it sucks, I'll return it. And I remember I bought it. It was like a 3-ring binder. It had a bunch of CDs. I listened to the CDs. I sat down and it would say, you know, here's where you go to build your website. Boom. And I did this. And then when he spoke about choosing a niche, I said, well, my niche is wrestlers, combat athletes. That's what I was in high school. I wrestled. Then I had gotten into jiu-jitsu and shoot fighting and those kind of early days, no holds barred fighting, they called it. And so every piece of content I put out was for wrestling. But when I started, I also had football players, baseball players, training them out of my garage. And I also think that now, you know, that's 2002. Now we're in 2021. Wrestlers don't really get kind of the love at a high school weight room. The high school weight room tends to be dominated, as you know, by the football team. Yeah. And there's also, you know, they are just a hungry crowd. And in business, you know, there's a guy, he passed away, but he was like the master copywriter, Gary Halbert. He said, the biggest advantage in business is a starving crowd. He goes, it's not the equipment, you know, let's say you're, you know, we all sell hot dogs. You know, what's going to make or break us? Is it, do we have a better hot dog stand? Did I have a better hot dog brand? He's like, you need a crowd that's dying for that stuff. And so when I think about, you think back to like anytime you've had an injury, let's say somebody injures their back, they do what I call going down the rabbit hole. They start Googling, they're on YouTube, they're everywhere. They're like going down the rabbit hole. Yeah. One story I share with people, like to make a long story short, was when I was coaching at the middle school, I had a kid that was kind of like out of his mind, tried starting a fight with me. Then, you know, he got kicked out of school. His dad was like known as like a Irish bare knuckles fighter. His like face was flat. And I was so like consumed by, am I going to run into this kid, to his dad? I need to be prepared to fight. And I went down the rabbit hole of like all this like street fighting stuff. And I look back, you know, it's so funny because years later, I'm painting my first warehouse. And the kid that started a fight with me is standing outside. And then he's like, you know, profusely like apologizing and like bowing down to me. And I look back, I'm like, man, I spent all that money on all those like street fighting VHS. So it's just, you know, a starving crowd is crucial. And so if you look at football, you know, I work at a high school, these football players, they could train at their high school weight room.
Right.
Not so much a starving crowd. But then like my daughter plays tennis. And so we go down to Florida, and the guy that runs the place, when we go to one place, like a private with him is $500. And it just, people are there from all around the country. And then they're from Australia, they're from Europe, all coming. And I'm like, this is a starving crowd. They, yep. You know, the father takes a 6-month work sabbatical to bring his kids to learn tennis. And so I always say, I'm like, damn, I should have been a tennis coach. You know, it's like such a hungry crowd. And so wrestlers are just, their parents are about this kind of gritty, tough, get after it training lifestyle. So my training fits them very well.
So you started the underground strength gym at your parents' garage, right? In 2002, I think was the original.
'02.
Maybe the story's a little off there.
Yeah.
What's the difference in the kids from 02 to 2021? Yeah. And how have they changed? How have you had to adapt to that?
Oh man, I've changed with the kids. I've changed because I'm a father and have my own kids. So I look at coaching differently. You know, I used to focus only on winning, scoring points, being the best guy, getting the scholarship. And now I focus a lot on teaching, utilizing that strength and conditioning as a vehicle to be tough in life, to be gritty, to have excellence in your academics, your social life, to really just seek excellence. And so in those early days, that I didn't have that kind of art of coaching knowledge. You know, I knew training methods, training technique. I knew how to get people strong, big, and fast and tough. And that's what I did. Also, the environment they trained with me in was so gritty that the result was different. And so training somebody in a garage, a backyard, using stones, chopping wood, you know, sprinting hills out in the woods, following me on my bike as we ride to a playground to do pull-ups on the monkey bars, that builds a much tougher kid than somebody who's in a place with the best equipment, the beautiful turf, always got air conditioning, so you're never too hot, you're never too cold. You know, I've got software up the wazoo to track everything. Instead of teaching you Muay Thai fighting, you're touching a screen with dots, you know, like that's right. What makes kids weak. And so, you know, my buddy John Wellborn played in the NFL. And he
that's where I heard you first was on the Power Athlete. So, John's my buddy too. I love that guy. I love their podcast, and I've been listening to yours because of that. And I love
that's
yours too.
Funny. So John told me the first weight room for the Eagles was like a dump. It was 1,000 square feet dump with no windows, like poor ventilation. He's like, that's what made us strong and tough. And so it's like Rocky III, when, you know, Apollo has to take Rocky to South Central LA to Compton, yep. wherever Tough Gym was. He had to get, you know, Mickey said the worst thing that could happen to a fighter is you get civilized. And so that's the tricky thing. You know, one of my locations, the one up in North Jersey, we have 1,000 square feet, but then we've got, you know, Sorenex racks with the jammer arms. We've got beautiful dumbbells, but then we don't have turf. You got to go outside to drag the sleds, even in the winter, as long as there's yeah. no ice, you're outside. So that element, you know, the nature element makes them tougher. I also think the kids 10, 15, 18 years ago, either I didn't have the knowledge and the, you know, eye for it, or they just moved better, but I didn't see ankles collapsing and backs rounded over. I also didn't have as many overweight kids. You know, I yes. would get like one kid in the whole gym was maybe struggling with being overweight. One kid was struggling with being undersized. Now I get a lot of kids entering high school that are 20 to 30 pounds undersized. And I'm also getting more kids that are just carrying 20, 30, maybe 40 pounds of fat.
Yeah.
And so I've got to educate the parents. So there's a lot of changes that have been going on. And also, I'll be honest, like, I'm not as crazy as I once was. And I think it's because I'm trying to, you could burn yourself out if yeah. you're always going full throttle. It's like a car or a motorcycle. You'll wear the engine out. And so sometimes I did this, and I should probably do it today, would be interesting. I did it like 2 months ago. I was like, I'm so sick of like telling them this warm up, this. I need them to get creative. And I having a, you know, I taught elementary phys ed for 12 years. So having that background makes you creative. It makes you more fun, I think.
That's
whereas
right,
if you're yeah. just a high school teacher, you're so regimented with kids, whereas the younger kids is more fun. So I told them, here's a marker, put up your dude. No, I said, you guys create your own warm-up. I ain't telling you what to do. Do whatever you want for the warm-up. And they got crazy on the warm-up and it was going so good. And I was just like, you know what? Here's a marker. As a group, you got to agree upon the lifts. You got to have an alternative for somebody who may not be able to do the lift. Put together your own workout. They put together some vicious workouts that day.
Like, they were hurting each other, I bet.
It was like,
yeah.
they went to like deadlift. And then it, some guys went to like heavy benching. Others did high rep benching. There was like a lot of high rep band work. Like they did high intensity, high volume. They did kind of like all of the things that I was like, wow, if I always say, you know, if you're without me, I need you to be able to organize and program your own training. And I need you to be able to like be tough for life. Like none of this, you know, I have to really get on kids with the excuses. Especially at the high school I coach at now. I've basically been at this high school for a little over a year, but the COVID messed everything up.
Yeah.
I was there for 4 months and then COVID hit. And when I was leaving, we were making some real headway with the athletes. Like you just saw arms getting big, traps stretching the shirts, legs getting jacked, kids squatting deep. I'm always like, he's squatting to the basement. And then I come back 6 months later and you see kids that got skinny fat. Their arms were skinny. They had like a gut. And I'm thinking to myself, when you're 17, man, you should be ripped.
Shredded.
Shredded. Yeah.
Yes.
Like it's not even easy. It should be easy. You should look at the weights and get big. But you know what? They didn't even train. They didn't sprint hills. And so when football started, I pulled my quad, my hammy, my hips. They couldn't do anything. I finally said to them, I go, guys, I'm going to tell you something. The reason why you're all hurt is because you're weak and you blew it in these 6 months of COVID. You guys could have been monsters, sleeping more, eating more, pushing
best.
A truck. I don't care if you don't have weights. Nobody stopped you from doing push-ups and squat jumps and hill sprints but yourself. And that was a big issue. So now I'm doing, because we're so on and off with all this crap, I'm doing a lot of bodybuilding work. I'm doing like 5 sets of 5 on a main lift, 4 sets of 6, kind of moderate reps, moderate weight. Then the other stuff, supplemental, is 8 to 12, 10 to 15 reps to build muscle.
Yeah,
because they lost muscle. Yeah. They don't have muscle. So I can't, you know, I don't care about this performance stuff. And then when they're done, we have a nice hill outside. I always got to get at least 3 hill sprints. But if
awesome.
You want to do more, it's on you. You want to be a champion, do more. You guys, when you're done, you want to do push-ups, you want to do a team workout, calisthenics, I'm leaving it on you. Whereas in my earlier years, I would hover and push and be in their ear. Now I learned that that doesn't help them. You have to give them the opportunity to do the work. And if they bail out on doing the work, then that shows up as
it's
as
on
you
them.
Know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine this, Nick? Like I say this, what if, you know, we play football and so it snowed here the past 2 days. What's today? Wednesday. So it snowed Monday, Tuesday. Monday, a football player said to me, like, you know, does shoveling count as, you know, my training for the day? And I was like, dude, you know, it's embarrassing that you asked me that because, you know, your teammates are counting on you and you're telling me like you can't do that and then go and bang out 100 pushups. Or if you have dumbbells at home, you can't clean and press 5 sets of 5. And right. And that to me is fatal because now they're looking to get this like short.
Try to find a way out of it.
Try to find a way out of the work, man. You got to chase the work.
Do the work. And by the way, welcome to regular life. Like I got to shovel my driveway and then I got to go to work.
Right. And nobody, nobody cares. I mean,
nobody cares except I care when my neighbor, I care when my neighbors don't shovel their daggone sidewalks and I got to walk on the street because they're too lazy. I'm like,
you get tired of lazy people.
I'm like, come on, you've revealed yourselves.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I feel like that is such a character revealer right there because see, that's why I say strength and conditioning is the vehicle. So, all right, you want to use shoveling and say that's your training for the day. Well, then now you're going to look for excuses with your academics. Now, you know,
well, I read a book. Do I have to study? I watch this on YouTube, you know.
Yeah. Or
what else suffices?
You'll do something sneaky in your, you know, relationship, your social life, whether it's a friend or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. And then you'll have an excuse for that versus just saying, hey, man, it's on me. It's on me. It's my responsibility.
It's only you. Yeah, and I tell my kids that all the time. Hey, buddy, nobody's going to do your work for you. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it, and you are the only one that you can blame.
I'm not saving you.
Stop blaming your mom and dad.
How old is your oldest?
He's 9.
He's 9. So, my daughter's 14. My son is 12. Like, forget it. They just grew up too fast. But I tell my daughter in tennis, you know, we take you to all these trainings. You train with daddy at his gym. You've done the work. The hay is in the barn, like Wellborn always says.
That's right.
Now
our coaches said that all the time.
Yeah, the prize is the competition. So now you have to, if you're down in points, you need to figure out what you got to do mentally and strategically to get back up. It's up to you, you know? And so before COVID, you know, you could go in and watch your kids play tennis and you would see, like, if a kid would miss a point, he'd look up or she would look up at mom or dad. And then the parents would do something. I told my daughter, I said, don't ever look up at me. You're on the court. I'm not, it's you. I'm not there. I cannot save you. And then, you know, I had to teach, you know, my son, big loves baseball player. We live in a small town. He didn't get chosen for All-Stars. And I say this openly, like he's a very good player. I said, Daddy, I'm not going to curse on your podcast, but I was like, Daddy's not in the like boys, good old boys club. That's what I said to him.
Right.
I go, so if you don't like sitting the bench, hit it out of the park all the time. Now, is that realistic? No. You know, he's a pitcher. He'll play first, second, third, outfield, but he's a very good hitter. He'll hit it to the fence many times.
But the point, is, right.
I'm on a podcast. I get Ethan at 3 o'clock. So sorry, Nick, my kids.
Oh, it's all good. Hey, that's life. That is life. That is all good. I think it's funny. I love it.
There's scream. Hold on 1 second. They're screaming to me. Let me just see something.
Yeah. Do your thing. Yeah. My kids always jump in the door and like open it up and it's like, what's going on in here? It's like,
they don't care.
I told you what was going on. It's all good.
They don't care. And
to the point of like, you know, with your son, it's like you have to make them need you on this team. Yeah, there has to be to the point where it's like, okay, where everybody else in the little league is going, come on, why is he not on the baseball team? Like, obviously, yeah,
and,
there's
and he's learning
politics at play. Politics. And
I tell him that. That's part of it. That's part of, look, even with running a business, sometimes there's politics involved with that. Like, yeah. Hey, we don't like this guy, or he didn't grow up in this town, and da, da, da. And that could work against you. And so, but at the end of the day, nobody cares. It's on us to, you know, succeed and push forward. Plain and simple.
How old are you?
45. Just 45. 45 to like December 4th. So what's that? 2 months ago.
Oh, awesome. You're a Sagittarius. My wife was December 5th and my oldest is a 17th.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's.
I live with a bunch of Sagittarius. It just means you're on fire all the time.
Yeah. I've heard like,
that's why I like you so much. I was so drawn to you because every time you come on and every time I've heard you on a podcast, you're just on and it's so fun and it's infectious.
I just love life. I don't know if it's the healthiest thing. I've been like really thinking a lot about since COVID, you know, we had those few months where everything shut down. As you know, California's, you know, going through.
Oh yeah.
It's way harder than New Jersey. I think like Australia, Canada, and the state of California. I think the state of New York also struggling.
New York's there, yeah.
It's like, I need more of kind of like that adventure. I love being outside. So in the summertime, we're in a beach town. I want to surf. I want to be in the water. I want to go mountain biking like that. I remember just doing that stuff as a kid. So I don't want to be that guy that's work, work, work. So right now, like on my mind, is figuring out ways to leverage the business and gain more freedom. That's the real, you know, yeah. The business has to give you freedom. That's the ticket.
That's exactly right. So how are you training now at 45? Obviously it's been kind of a lifelong thing with weights and training and being in the gym. And it's my happy place too, right? It's like where I go to recess. And if I had a bad day, it's like, let me just put on YouTube and get after it.
Yeah.
And have fun and play around in here.
Is like the ultimate thing to make me feel good. And so I'm doing more like a lot of circuit work. I'm getting my right knee fixed in the end of March. Supposedly just need to get the meniscus repaired, but it's been, some people could have like no ACL and be fine. My meniscus, like the pain has been, I can't even jog. It's flipping
up on you.
So I just want to be able to run.
Yeah.
I want to be able to like run hills. I didn't surf this summer because my knee like popping up on the board.
Oh.
So I want to get back to that. So I could squat, I can deadlift, I can't farmer walk and carry and do steps. So like here's an example. Yesterday after shoveling, I went to my gym and I'll do a good warm up. I get a lot of blood flowing with bands, dumbbells. So I was going to do upper body yesterday. So I grabbed a pair of 15 pound dumbbells. I do like 10 flies, 10 presses, 10 triceps. Then I was still laying on my back and did like raises and pullovers. Then I sat up straight, curls, then rear delts. Then I went to the bands, pull aparts, face pulls, tricep extensions. So I get a lot of blood. Then I do a lot of hanging knee raises, hanging leg raises for shoulder health and abs.
I do too.
And then I went through a circuit. I did dumbbell bench. Then I stood up with those weights. I did dumbbell shrugs. Then I put them away and then I did a dumbbell row. And I think I did 5 sets of like 8 to 10 reps there. Then when I was done with that, I think like in the middle, I did some band pulls, just like what I tell the kids, hanging abs, band pulls. Then I did 2 sets of dips and pull-ups. Then I did some grip work and then I was done. The leg workout before that, I did belt squats, knees over toes, split squats with body weight. Then I went and did back extensions and I just kept doing that for like 4 or 5 sets. Then I got to the safety squat bar. I think I did like 3 or 4 sets of 5. I did leg curls with it. So I like to move. I'm not chasing the weight anymore. I like to move and sweat. And then my rule is with the kind of the business stuff is I record 1 working circuit that I do. Maybe I say some fired up words that's running through my mind and then I'm done. Then I just got to train and give that time for myself. And I find that if I, you know, let's say I was training slower, then you want to check your phone. And that's also why, like, if I train in a group, then you can't check your phone. It's just time for you. It's so healthy to get disconnected. And so, you know, going back to that earliest question of what's the future of the fitness industry, you know, people are going to want to get to that engagement. They're going to want to interact. Like, I can't imagine people from here on out just saying, no, I don't want to be anywhere. Now you have those hardcore home gym owners that are really going all in, but that's not the majority of people. That's just our little niche of people that we know because we're in that niche. But trust me, there's not a massive, you know, the people that are going to be going to your gym, even like the kids that I train, they might be able to train a little bit on their own, but give a kid too much freedom on his own and he'll sit on his phone. His workout won't be challenging. There won't be anybody to compete against. You need to compete against others if you're an athlete.
Yeah.
And if you're an adult,
feed off of that energy. That energy is so good.
What, like, could you, you know, my friend always says, you know, he's like kid I trained since he was in middle school. He's like, you know, they say wrestling's an individual sport. He goes, try getting better on your own. Just try wrestling alone and do everything on your own. So it's not individual, you know? And so you've got to be, you got to have a team, you know? You got to look at special forces soldiers. They operate in small units.
Yeah.
You know, sure, they sometimes go alone, but the best of the best, you know, the Navy SEALs are in groups, small teams.
I say you're only as good as your training partner or your sparring partner in all sports. And you know that in wrestling too. Football's the same way. I was only as good as the nose guard. Hey, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Give some training parameters. Like, when would you start kids training?
Oh yeah. So like your kids, you know, you got the 7 and 9 year olds. What we did, we moved to this house 11 years ago. First thing I did, and so my kids were like 1.5 years and 3.5. I put a climbing rope in the garage and a set of rings and a few kettlebells. My kids always saw me doing stuff, carrying kettlebells, climbing the ropes, sprinting. And so they thought that was, you know, quote unquote, normal. So here's my son, not even 2 years old, climbing rope. Then when it's the warm weather, I'm outside, you know, doing walking lunges, kettlebell snatches. They're, you know, pull out a gymnastics mat and they're like doing things that look like push-ups, but they're trying. And so you want to expose them to movement, not necessarily, you know, training or working out, and let them see that stuff. Then when it comes to like going into an organized strength and conditioning program, middle of seventh grade is good if the coach knows how to train kids. Because the way I train a sixth grader is very different. Like I see some of these coaches training middle school kids like miniature adults. You know, they're pushing only prowlers. They're just sets and reps. Whereas for me, our warm-up is like an obstacle course. They're doing cartwheels. They're jumping over things. They're throwing medicine balls. We compete. You know, we hand walk. When it's warm out, we go outside and warm up with ultimate frisbee, ultimate football, pick up basketball. There's a park across the street. So
perfect.
We incorporate play. Now, when do they start using a barbell, like a trap bar deadlift or a back squat? If they're ready for it, maybe they'll do it very light in eighth grade, meaning I've probably trained them at least a year. I've built up a lot of their structure with kettlebells, med balls. If like a kid we have, he might be like 120 pounds, eighth grader. He's been with me for a little over a year. He'll back squat. 5 sets of 5, but the same weight. He's not going to grind reps.
Gotcha,
he'll squat 65 pounds, 85 pounds. He'll trap bar deadlift 95 pounds. So you don't waste what we call the silver bullet, because you're playing the long game with these kids.
Right.
So I don't need to crush them. So at the high school, when I get untrained freshmen, when the upperclassmen are deadlifting with a trap bar, the new freshmen are doing goblet squats, and then they double the reps. So, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors are doing 4 sets of 4 trap bar deadlift. The freshmen are going to do 4 sets of 8 on a goblet squat. And then everybody's going to jump. You could jump over hurdles, squat jump, frog jump, throw med balls. When somebody experienced this benching, you're doing push-ups and then you're dumbbell benching. So I build up the support structure before letting them touch a barbell. And, you know, the barbell takes time. It's like an emotional and physical readiness. You have to know when they're ready for it.
Good.
Yeah.
Zach, that was awesome. Hey, tell everybody where to find you.
Yep.
And what they can find on the website. Cause I know you've got a couple of websites, but yes. I don't sure. know which one you want to direct people okay. to. And then tell them, cause you've yeah. got a lot, you got a lot of really awesome products out there.
Yeah. I would say go to our podcast, Strong Life Podcast. We're talking about training in the gym and training for life.
Strong mind, strong body, strong life. I think that's the important part, is you capture the essence of training to yes. train the mind.
It's more than how can I build my bench or deadlift more. I always want to go beyond that. I got a great newsletter that people will enjoy reading in the mornings. Go to zachstrength.com. And then I've got, if you want to get certified, we've got undergroundstrengthcert.com. And then I've got an educational hub of 16 years of content. That's undergroundstrengthcoach.com. So if they Google my name, they'll start kind of coming under the umbrella of everything I offer.
Yeah. I mean, you've got so much, and like you're a historian in the strength world as well. I mean, as far as collecting magazines and articles.
Oh man, I love the old stuff.
It's so good. Hey, yeah. I know you got to run.
Yeah,
I appreciate the time so much. Thanks, thank you. Bro. And good luck getting back into things with the kids.
Thanks, my brother. Talk to you soon.
Right on, Zach. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.